Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
No pressure on anybody, but this is something that we've tried to do just to get a variety of perspectives. We've done different things over the years. We've spent time with some of our college students, some of our young people. We've spent time talking about faith in different generations. But what we're going to do tonight and next week is think about faith at work. And so we have an auditorium filled with people who live faithfully at work every day in a variety of different vocations. So while we have several up here, we could just as easily be asking many of you a lot of these questions. But I'm thankful for these four that are going to just explain not only some of the things they've learned, what passages of Scripture have stood out to them and become more real throughout this process. And so we'll go around and kind of pass the microphone around. But Randall, I'll start with you. And we do have probably some folks in this room who might not know everybody. So it might be helpful to say, you know, your name and who you are so people could put a name with the face, but also just what your vocation is and what drew you to that. How did you wind up where you are?
I'm Randall Wilson. I'm a financial advisor and primarily focus, you know, investment management. But I spent kind of what drew me there is I spent 6 years as a CPA in public accounting and knew I wanted to start my own business and knew it wasn't going to be accounting. So anyway, so basically primarily because just more control over your time, family time, and also I just like the planning aspect, the goal setting aspect of financial planning. So that's how I got into it.
Absolutely.
I'm Doug Wilburn. I'm a doctor. More specifically, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I did not grow up in a family that had anybody in the medical field, so that thought really did not cross my mind when I was growing up. I went to college as a chemistry major, and so most of my curriculum in college was in the sciences. And I love the sciences. I love the exactness of it. I love being able to, if you do this, then you can get the predictable result. But on the other hand, being in labs all day long is a little bit drab and sometimes a little boring. And someone said, you ought to be a doctor. And for whatever reason, that thought struck in my mind. And I thought, you know, that combines both science as well as being around people and interacting with people. And I thought that was a great option, and I pursued it, and it worked out. And I've never regretted that decision since then.
My name is Andrew Williams. I, like Randall, am an accountant by trade. I work at Columbia Academy in the business office, and so I help, handle the financial operations of the school. I guess my career path was just kind of a gradual one. Just gravitated toward that profession. Have an affinity for numbers, I guess you'd say, and for solving problems. If you want me to fit into the, you know, stereotypical mold of an accountant, that would be me probably. Pretty natural fit for me, and I majored in that in part just because I knew that could open some doors in the future, not necessarily in accounting, like Randall said, but also wanted to mention that I don't underestimate the impact that my high school accounting class at Columbia Academy had, taught by Diane Kirk. So I don't think she's here, but that was a good class and perhaps set me on the career trajectory that I have currently.
Well, one of the things that I wanted us to get into was just to see in a sampling of some of our different vocations, what you have learned, or maybe throughout your work day or work experience, what passages of Scripture have really kind of come to mind where you thought, you know, I look at this now from a different angle since I've had this job, or I've started to see how this plays out in my job. So we'll kind of go reverse order. That way you don't have to answer last every time as we go through here. But Andrew, what would you say are some insights you've seen in Scripture just from living out your faith in your job?
Obviously, you know, Scripture and Christ himself talks a lot about money and financial management. And so I think the verses that deal specifically with the idea of stewardship, the biblical principle of stewardship, resonate with me maybe more. I don't know that I have particular insight on that more so than others, but that idea of stewardship is, we don't really use that word much. We don't talk about a person being a steward. I guess the word most closely that we use would be manager or a caretaker. But I think the biblical idea conveys a lot more than maybe just a manager in our terms. And I think the main difference is the level of trust that an owner entrusts what he has to his steward or to his caretaker. And so, you know, the verses like the parable of the talents obviously come to mind. I think Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 that I've used a lot is he who's faithful in little is faithful in much, and he who's unrighteous in little will be unrighteous in much. So I think that idea of stewardship resonates with me a lot, and I think we understand the concept of we have a responsibility to manage what we have, and we're going to be accountable for that. But maybe sometimes if others are like me, you kind of lose sight of the ownership principle of that, that what we possess or what we have isn't ours ultimately. We may possess it, but the owner is God, and we're just kind of overseeing what he's given to us for a short period of time.
Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing how challenging that can be. I love those examples. Both of those are showing how just principles can be very specifically attuned to what we're doing and what we're seeing on a daily basis. So, Doug, you have a different circumstance in your vocation, but what are some passages of Scripture that have come to you?
What came to my mind was Psalms 139. And in that psalm, David is talking about God's perfect knowledge of man, and he, throughout the psalm, just relates the idea that there's no place that we can go that God isn't with us and can't protect us and knows about us. But in specific, I was actually going to read verse 13 through 16, because I think it particularly applies, in my case, to the medical field in a sense. It says, "For you have formed my inward parts. You cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." I think there's a lot in that passage that particularly applies to the medical field, but I think it talks about the importance of life and the involvement that God has in the creation of life, even from conception. And so I think it does speak to the importance of human life. I think it also shows the fact that we're all unique individuals and that we're all important to God, and that he has plans for each one of us, and he has goals for each one of us, even again from conception. And so as a physician, you're certainly dealing with people's lives, and I think it's always important to know that each one of those lives is important, not only to the individual but also to God. And I do think that places a great deal of responsibility on anyone who's trying to help someone with their health care to understand the importance of that life, and also from a medical point of view, how quickly that life can be taken away, and to try to help preserve that if at all possible.
Well, the Bible says a lot about my occupation. because it says a lot about money. And that's sort of what we've been involved in for 30 years. Andrew used the passage, one of the scriptures I was going to use Matthew 25, and I won't read that. It's something like 15 verses, but stewardship and accountability. We all have, we're different. We have different abilities. We have different resources, but we have the same responsibilities. And that's something that in our business has, I think, played a part. Also, how to save. We've spent many years trying to help people know how to save money, and the Bible talks about that. We tend to want it to be fast, tomorrow. Yeah. But the Bible, if you look at Proverbs 13:11, it says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Now, I'm reading the English Standard Version. I think the New American Standard says gathers by labor, which is still the concept of working little by little, that is the right way to save and the right way to accumulate money.
One thing I've noticed is each of you have been talking. You can hold on to that.
Okay.
Is that all of these have reminded us that whatever we're doing, that's part of a larger mission. As you've mentioned, when it comes to people's life, well, that's part of a larger mission of preserving their life. You've talked about planning in the future. So are there some ways that your job has given you a better understanding of God's world, of God's creation, of the way things work? Maybe it's a little more obvious or pronounced if you're in the medical field, but in all of our vocations, what have you seen about the way God created the world as you've gone through your career? Sure, go for it.
Well, to me, it's no doubt the differences in people. It's amazing. Of course, that's our job. I mean, we've met with, I probably could say thousands, but a lot of people, and the personality differences, the goals that people have, their talents are, as I mentioned a while ago, are different. Their organization skills, their creativity, and all of these are different. And it's just amazing. And you see God's hand in this, without a doubt, especially meeting with husbands and wives and working with them, how he can pull opposites like that together in a marriage is an amazing thing, but it works every time. And then the other thing is just the natural economic cycle that we're all involved in. I don't know if we really think about it a lot, but it's certainly changed since the first century. But I'm talking about creating, producing, distributing, consuming, and then it starts all over again. But it's just this natural economic cycle that you see God's creation in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another obvious one and very important.
I love seeing the world around us, and I'm always amazed at the beauty that you can find anywhere if you keep your eyes open and just look for it. Whether it's a pretty Tennessee afternoon or the coolness of a morning, you can see lots of different beauty in the world around us, and that I think that creation of the world certainly reminds us of God's creation and God's power. But we also don't need to forget that our bodies were created by God. And, I think that's the point that David was making in the Psalms when he says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Someone says you can translate that, says, "I am an awesome wonder." And we are an awesome wonder if we think about our bodies. Later on, he just says that I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, referring to the development of our bodies or our lives, even at the time of conception. And so as a medical person, I get to see really on a daily basis the wonder of the human creation that is our life, the wonder of the human creation that is our bodies. And I get to see really what a complex and unique structure we are and how complex it is. And I think that uniqueness and the beauty of it and yet the complexity of it certainly shows that there had to be a designer and a creator. And I certainly, even as a surgeon, get to, in a sense, experience that perhaps more than some physicians, because each day I'm trying to, in a sense, put that body back together or teach people how to live with the body that they have and how to best utilize what God's given to them. And so really on a daily basis, as you look at the human body and you think of how skillfully and wonderfully it was made, I think it does point to the fact that God is the creator.
It's easy for us to take that for granted, but having that reminder is so important. Adrian?
I guess in terms of the creation, I thought more along the lines of how we were created personally, and that even though we're all different, that we're all very similar, and God knows that. He knows what our desires are, what our temptations are or will be, and He knows what we need. And I think, obviously, in Scripture, a lot of times the ideas of godly wisdom are contrasted with earthly wisdom, and that comes to light as it relates to how we handle our material possessions as well. And a lot of the instructions we read in Scripture seem, they're definitely countercultural in how we should view or handle or desire material possessions, but they sometimes seem counterintuitive as well. But the fact that God knows us, that we would have a desire for that, and He gives so many warnings and instructions on that, I think is fascinating. Again, I don't think I have particular insight on that other than just I think in those terms more often, and so I notice it a little bit more. But the verse specifically, if you don't mind that I'll read, that came to mind is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. And Paul says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Contrasting that with, you know, accumulating material wealth, he says, contentment is great gain. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I just think of how God knows us so well that we would be enticed by kind of the deceitfulness or the fleeting nature of pursuing material possessions or pursuing things that are temporary, and how even though His word may seem counterintuitive, when we follow that and when we trust that, it's for our benefit.
Yeah, that really leads into the next question I wanted us to think about. But this idea that God understands our tendencies and our temptations and providing instruction for dealing with those things, probably all of us might have challenges in our mind that you think of when you think of your job and maybe some challenges you faced in living out your faith. And so this is kind of a two-part question, which is, what are some challenges that you faced in living out your faith and being faithful in your occupation? And then kind of the flip side of that coin, what are some possibilities for service and glorifying God for someone who's in your vocation? So if someone is thinking about that or is reflecting on their job and saying, that sounds a lot like what I deal with, what are some opportunities to show Christ to others? So those are two questions. I'll let you get us kicked off with both those.
Okay, good question. I would expect that most everyone has worked in a challenging environment. I did for a short period of time, one that was high stress, high demand, and I didn't stay there very long. Frankly, I'm blessed with, I feel blessed, and I'm thankful for where I work and the opportunity I have to do something that I enjoy doing, but also working with people who are of like faith. And also, I'm definitely blessed to work at a place where the mission has a spiritual purpose, mm-hmm. and everyone is working toward that. And of course, we try to keep our mission at the forefront of our minds. But so I guess the challenge for me would be more of one of not missing those opportunities, and kind of being accountant by nature. I have a tendency, probably more so than others, to zero in on something and get focused on something so that maybe at times I miss the bigger picture and kind of not seeing the forest for the trees mentality. And so, you know, for me, it's just a matter of trying to remind myself constantly why I do what I do and being a good example to those around me and not trying to miss those opportunities when I'm at work.
What are some, just to kind of follow up, what are some opportunities? You only thought you were done. What are some opportunities for people? And obviously you're at a place that is promoting faith and faith in God. But what do you think people in that profession, what are some opportunities they have to show Christ to others?
Sure. Well, I guess kind of relating back to what I said with godly wisdom or his instructions related to how we view material possessions and handle those things, we can differentiate ourselves from the world pretty easily if we follow God's instructions in that regard. And being generous and showing contentment and not pursuing material possessions in a way that we shouldn't, or putting those at a point in our lives or in a place in our lives where we hold them to a level where we pursue them at all costs. And I think we can really differentiate ourselves from the world and stand out from the world, be a light to the world, just in how we follow God's command on a daily basis, in terms of generosity and commitment and using our resources to help others rather than for selfish motives.
That would definitely cause us to stand out, especially in our culture today. Jason? Doug, what do you think?
Two things that came to my mind, I think, that were challenges in, I guess, the medical career. First was time, and the second was stress. Anybody whose career is very busy, it's easy to get caught up in the time it takes to be successful and the time it takes to do everything you need to. And that's certainly true as a physician or in any really busy profession. And I think you just have to keep the right perspective on what's truly important in my life and what's truly important in all our lives, and that is obviously to put God first. And just to remind ourselves that regardless of what good job we may think we're doing, we're not indispensable, and that there are probably other people who also will do similar things. And so, again, I think you have to realize that, again, balance is important, and you always have to put God first. You know, certainly in any busy profession, there can be stress with what you do. But I think also, particularly in medicine, there's a lot of stress in dealing with the patients that you're seeing or the people who come to you. Certainly, I think I've found that people who have a family member that's injured or have a family member that's hurting tend to be stressed, and they tend to not always act the way they would in other circumstances. And they can be very demanding and very angry. And I think you have to constantly remind yourself that that may not be who this person is all the time, but it does present sometimes a stressful situation that that sometimes you have to be very delicate with on how you handle it. But it does, as you said, present opportunities. Certainly it presents an opportunity to show love to other people and to show compassion to other people. I think if you're interested in another person's problem and truly take the time to hear what they have to say and to try to understand where they're coming from and what their problem is, I think that is hopefully showing a good example of love and concern. Going back to what I said earlier, you know, I think it helps me and helps all of us to understand that every life is important because that life was created by God. And in my dealings with people, I need to be aware of the fact that, you know, their concerns, their problems, their health issues are certainly important, not only to them, but also to God. And I think it's a big responsibility and an opportunity to try to treat those people with respect and treat them in the appropriate manner.
I think my challenges probably aren't a lot different than anybody here tonight that's, you know, you're a Christian, living in the world, but trying not to live like the world. I'm in a highly regulated business, and it's amazing, but occasionally I'll have someone wants me to do something that I just can't do. And even if that means losing the client or missing an opportunity on a client, so that can be a challenge for us. The other thing is challenge, but it's also, I think, as Doug was saying, you know, the challenges create opportunities. You know, it's our communication and our service to our clients. And if you understand our business, things don't always go well, or should I say go up. They sometimes go down. And as a Christian, you've got to be able to, I guess, maintain the fruits of the Spirit in your communication and in your service to people, regardless of what the situation is. And one of the things I had listed as an opportunity to show Christ is in the words that we choose. We're always having people that, do they inherited money or they got some extra windfall. It's rare, but it does happen, you know. And, you know, that's the positive. But then there's health problems. There's loss of family members. There's negatives. And so being able as a Christian to respond the right way, whether it's you've been blessed on the positive or, you know, we're going to pray for you. I mean, there's just the words we choose, I think, can show Christ in the positives and the negatives that happen, and those are the best opportunities. The other opportunity is, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of Christian clients and business associates, and you know, I think when we think about showing Christ, we think about showing it to non-Christians, and we should. But we also need to emphasize, I think, showing it to Christians, because other Christians, because it's an opportunity to encourage them and then be encouraged by them.
Yeah.
And that is a huge, I think, thing that may be overlooked. Occasionally I have, once a quarter, an opportunity to mentor younger business associates, clients, son or daughter of a older client, you know, we go through the fundamentals of financial planning. We go through what we call building our financial house, and those have opportunities. They have, sometimes they don't, but sometimes they can lead to, you know, biblical principles on giving, stewardship. And that's an opportunity that I have. And I must confess, I have missed so many opportunities over the years. So for all you younger folks out there, look for the opportunities. I think all of us can look back and say, I missed that. That opportunity was there and I missed it.
I appreciate so much you all being with us and sharing with us. I hope that as we leave here tonight, we can all realize we're all in this together, no matter what you have going on the rest of the week. If you're at work in an occupation, if you're working at home, whatever it is you're doing, we're all in this together. We're all seeking to find ways to glorify God in our daily life. Let's go ahead and close with a time of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.